From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Democrats don't want to follow the rules again. A significant pro-life victory, and China has to have something on the Bidens. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. It was a very busy week in Washington this week, and our show is packed. We want to start off with an important pro-life stand that Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama is making in the Senate, effectively stopping action on across-the-board promotions in the military. But not all of his colleagues are happy.
He's forcing it to go to a floor vote. Makes no sense. Makes no sense to me. Makes no sense to the American public who's watching this, and clearly is an abuse of the use of the powers that we have as senators in this body. And so I have to point that out, because this is what we're dealing with, unfortunately, at times when the American public just wants us to work together to move forward.
That was Nevada Senator Cortez Masto yesterday. Now, let me interpret her statement for you. Republicans should do exactly what the president and his pro-abortion, anti-faith allies want. Then we can tell the American public we're working together. But folks, that's not cooperation, that's capitulation. Joining me now to discuss this and more, Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. He serves on four Senate committees, including the Senate Armed Services Committee and the Senate Committee on Veteran Affairs. Coach, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well. A little bit of a fight up there on Capitol Hill.
Well, we'd better fight, Tony. We're losing our country slowly, but they've indoctrinated our kids in education. They've taken the DOJ and the FBI and the CIA, the top group, and all those three institutions, and made them the Democratic Party mouthpiece. The mainstream media is so corrupt, they don't know what day it is. And it's just sad. And of course, you heard the senator there saying that I should go along with everything they want to do. This is the only power we have, is put a hold on something. We, being in the minority, which we have been since I've been here for the last going on 3 years, the only power we have in the minority is to say, listen, we want to hold this, and you got to go through regular order to make sure this is done right. Now, they can get all these people confirmed. They just don't want to work. They want to put them all in one group and everybody raise a hand, vote for them, and send them on down the line. Guess what? That ain't happening with me.
Well, let me just say first, Senator, you're a breath of fresh air. And I think I know this for a fact, because we hear from people. In fact, I think we delivered about 25,000 petitions to you, people supporting you, praying for you in the stand that you're taking. But I want to underscore what you just said, because I want our folks to completely understand. I want our viewers to understand. You are not blocking the military from advancing officers. They can do it two ways. They can go through the regular order and bring each one up and vote on it. That the Senate can do that. The second, if they want to go through with these blanket nominations or blanket promotions, they simply have to go back to obeying the law in the Pentagon and go back to the previous policy on abortion, which has been approved by Congress. Is that correct?
Exactly. Like I told Secretary Austin, I've told the White House, and I've told Schumer, either follow the law, which the law was, we had abortions, but for certain exceptions. We've had it for 40 years. We've had no problem. Nobody's complained. Go back to the old law, or send a law over you want us to vote on and let us vote on it. And whatever happens, happens, and I'll drop the hold. But let's do it the right way. But this administration, this so-called Democratic Party, which is not Democrats anymore, it's a far, far progressive socialist. They want to change this country, but this is not going to happen. They're going to have to go around me and do the right thing, do it in regular order, or they're going to have these holes put on them for a long, long time. And I hate it for some of these admirals and generals because this is their livelihood. But you got to understand, we've got to make a stand somewhere. They have corrupted the entire country. Our military is next. And if they can get our military, then the Supreme Court will be next. And what we know as United States of America will not be in existence anymore.
Again, I want to underscore what you just said. You have offered to the Senate scare leader, Chuck Schumer, that if they want this to be the policy of the military, where abortions go from about 20 a year to 4,000 funded by taxpayers, if that's what they want, simply put a bill onto the Senate floor and vote on it. Is that exactly. Is that what you said?
Exactly. I mean, the Department of Defense wasn't elected. We were. Let's do our job. And that's how things work here. But they do not want to put it on the floor. And why do they not want to put it on the floor, Tony? Because they got about 10 senators that are running for re-election in a year and a half. And they will be put in harm's way with a vote against what I'm doing.
Because they're out of step with the American people?
Exactly. I mean, they're voting for their party. They're not voting for the people. Let's protect our military. That's what this is about. Protect American taxpayers for having to pay for something that it's a law that they don't have to pay for. The Hyde Amendment says American taxpayers do not have to pay for abortions, but this administration could care less. They're a socialist party that wants to change us into what Europe is right now. We've got open borders that are changing this country every day. And people, every time somebody comes across that border, it's costing you money out of your pocket. So I know you say it's not affecting you. It is, and it's going to ruin this country. But again, we got all kind of problems, but this one right here, they're going to have a hard time getting through me. They're going to have to go over top of me. They can't go around.
Well, Senator, I know you got to go in just a moment, so one final question for you. What can our listeners and viewers do to help you in this effort? Because I you know, as a veteran, as a Marine veteran, I know that those that join our military are disproportionately coming from families that subscribe to conservative values. They have a faith background, and this is important to them to join a military that is not hostile to their views.
What I tell everybody, number one, when you get up every morning and before you go to bed at night, pray for our country. Folks, we're in trouble. God might be the only one to be able to help us get through this, because this is the toughest time I've seen in my lifetime of 68 years in this country. My dad died in the military on active duty. My brother was in the military. We are in tough times. This country is in tough times, but we're trying. The outside forces are trying to control us in terms of what we do within this country. Marxism was said years ago, we won't have to fire a shot. We're going to indoctrinate their kids into wokeism and communism, and they're doing just that. So watch what your kids learn, what they're being taught. Understand what we're trying to do here. I could care less if I'm ever on TV or make a statement again. But they are not going to infiltrate our military or continue to do it like they're doing it without me and some of the other people that are getting away. So, again, call your congressman, write your congressman, write your senator, write a letter to the White House. Tell them how you feel about our country and the direction it's going. And then in a year from November, we had better vote somebody that loves this country into the White House, somebody that actually knows what day it is, somebody that will fight for our kids, our grandkids, and for the things that this country stands for. And if we don't do that, what we know today as United States of America will not be.
Senator, this may be a little unusual, but do you mind if I pray for you before you go?
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Father, we come to you as the coach laid out, as Senator Tuberville said, we need to be praying for our nation, and we do pray for our nation, but I pray for those who are standing up for our nation, and I pray for Senator Tuberville. Thank you for his stand. May you encourage him, and may others stand with him. And Lord, may you hear our prayers, and may you turn this nation back to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Coach, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
We hope you'll continue to lift Senator Tuberville up in prayer. And when you get done praying for the senator, we invite you to take a moment and reach out to Leader McConnell and ask that he support Senator Tuberville. You can do that over at TonyPerkins.com or simply text DOD to 67742. Again, that's the letters DOD to 67742.
Men have exhaustively heard that they're excluded from voicing an opinion on abortion. However, this sentiment ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a new resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help equip men to confidently address the topic of life. Access this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the crucial role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday of this week, Tony Perkins shared some great pro-life news, and here's how he introduced our next guest.
All right, lawmakers in North Carolina passed legislation this week to protect the unborn after 12 weeks of pregnancy, successfully overriding the veto of Democratic Governor Roy Cooper. North Carolina voters gave Republicans a supermajority in their state legislature last November, and they needed every vote to narrowly override the veto. This continues the momentum we're seeing for life all across the nation at the state level, with lawmakers both in Nebraska and South Carolina also considering pro-life legislation this week. Joining me now to discuss this is State Senator Joyce Krawczyk. She represents the 31st District of North Carolina. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations on getting this legislation passed. Even with the Republican supermajority in your state, I know this result was not completely assured.
Oh, it was. We were sure on the Senate side that we had the votes to override the veto, and we knew we would get a veto when we passed it. But we weren't sure about the House, and I'm sure you probably heard we had a Democrat switch to Republican just in the last couple of weeks and gave us that supermajority, and she did vote with us, so we were able to override the veto, and it is so sweet. But this is the third time within that bill that we passed. We also had a ban on partial birth abortion in case it changes at the federal level, and we also had the Born Alive Survivors Act, and I have filed that bill every session since I've been there, and it's been vetoed, and we didn't have the votes to override. So that was also a part of that bill. So now babies that survive those botched abortions will be cared for. So it is it's a great day in North Carolina for sure.
So this was a big bill, comprehensive in nature in terms of protecting life.
It was a big bill as far as protecting life, and we had so many good things in there to take care of moms and babies and families and to promote life. We included $160 million in funding for child care, for taking care of moms during their pregnancy, parental leave. It was just packed with lots of good stuff to take care of those moms and to encourage them to have their babies. So
speak to that for just a moment. Senator, speak to that aspect of the bill, because we're seeing that across the nation, Mississippi being one of the first to actually allow taxpayers to direct money to care pregnancy centers. So this is not just about protecting unborn children. You know, critics often say, well, you don't care about babies once they come out of the womb. You don't care about their mothers. But this bill is further evidence that that is not true.
Absolutely not true. We want to encourage moms to have their babies. Also in the bill was a 72-hour informed consent where the mom really gets to hear all of her options. She, now so often they think abortion is their only option, and that is just not true. And so they have to be informed about what their options are. And we did allow it's 12 weeks, no abortions elective after 12 weeks. 20 weeks are the exceptions for rape and incest. And then at 24 weeks for babies that have life-limiting fetal anomalies, that can go up to 24 weeks. But after 12 weeks, all abortions have to be performed in a hospital setting. And it was so ironic on the floor to hear the Democrats actually admit that we were virtually putting an end to abortions because the abortion clinics in North Carolina would all be closed. That was an admission to me that those clinics are not safe for women because now they have to be, they're held to the same standards as all other ambulatory surgical centers, which is what they are.
Right.
And it was so ironic to hear them say these clinics will all be closed down, admission that they didn't care about taking care of women.
You're absolutely right.
It was just about abortion.
When I authored the Abortion Clinic Regulation Act back in my home state of Louisiana years ago, that was one of the arguments they'd have to close down. In fact, that many of them did because they were driven by profit, not by the care of their patients.
Yes.
One other aspect before we run out of time, Senator, is this also addresses the adoption issue, does it not?
Absolutely. We have incentives in there for adoption. We have kinship care in there. I mean, there it was a big bill that you name anything having to do with moms and babies and families, and it's in that bill. So we're just really excited about it. And it also shows that the other side doesn't really care about those things as long as they want abortion, and that's it. They were not willing to compromise any in order to get those additional, just so many good things for those families, but they weren't willing to cross the line and give up abortion and to just give one inch on abortion. And this was very mainstream.
Right.
First trimester is very mainstream, and I think we lose sight of that because people paint, they said our bill was extreme and that we were going way too far, when in fact 93% of the countries around the world limit abortions to the first trimester.
You're absolutely right.
So we really are mainstream at 12 weeks.
What this did, as you just described how some of your Democratic colleagues would not support this bill, it shows who's extreme. Their view.
That's exactly right.
Of embracing
exactly
abortion
right.
up until the moment of birth and some of them beyond, that's what's extreme.
Exactly. That's extreme. And I think people know that. They won't admit that, but we need to keep pointing it out at every opportunity because this shows that that's really abortion is all they care about.
Yeah. Senator Krovic, again, congratulations on
Thank
a job
so
well
much.
Done, and thanks for taking time to join us today.
Thanks so much.
All right. Folks, I'm telling you, it's encouraging to see what's happening across the country. Now, the left is lamenting this. But this shows you where people are at. I mean, I'm telling you, state legislators are in touch with people more than any other level of government. Maybe city councils. But the life, celebration of life continues. That march continues. All right, don't go away. We're going to have more Washington Watch on the other side of the break.
Men have exhaustively heard that they're excluded from voicing an opinion on abortion. However, this sentiment ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a new resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help equip men to confidently address the topic of life. Access this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the crucial role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday of this week, we were pleased to be joined by Senator Rick Scott of Florida. He joined Tony to talk about his bill on artificial intelligence and more. But first, they talked about the debt ceiling and the Republicans standing united. Here's how that interview got started.
Senator Scott, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it's great to be with you, and I'm optimistic that we will get a debt ceiling deal done. But it's up to Joe Biden. Is he willing to stop the reckless spending, stop the growth in government, the size of government, get Americans back to work, make it easier for our businesses to prosper? And if he does, we've got a deal.
Well, he doesn't have a choice, does he?
No. He can decide that he wants to default. Actually, the federal government has enough revenues to pay the interest, so we never default. But it's going to be up to him. He's decided to date. To not negotiate, although he has said today that he's willing to negotiate, but he's leaving town. He's leaving town to go to Japan right in the middle of the negotiation. So, you know, I'm optimistic for this country. I'm optimistic for the American people, but we got to get a president that's going to show up and do his job.
You have to be optimistic with what you see happening among the ranks of Republicans. I mean, I've not seen this where they're this unified and standing firm. Usually they walk to the debate table, the negotiation table, I should say, carrying a white flag.
Well, yeah, I think first off, you have to really admire what the Freedom Caucus did in the House, because they took the bull by the horn. They put out a plan early that is the sort of the basis for what ultimately passed in the House. There's six senators in the Senate that worked with them through this whole process. Say, we've got to come out with something we can vote for, which means it's going to have structural change to change the trajectory of this debt. It's going to make sure we get people back to work. We make sure our businesses can prosper. Because guess what? Americans are fed up with this inflation. They're fed up with medical bills going up. This is all caused by reckless government spending. Inflation is reckless government spending. Medical bills are caused because reckless government spending and reckless regulation. So we've got to take care of the American public. We've got to get inflation down. We've got to get it to where people control the cost of their medical bills.
Will the left actually tolerate the president reaching an agreement with Republicans? I mean, it's almost – when you listen to some of the rhetoric coming out of the Senate Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer, it's almost as if they want the economy to crash and burn.
I don't know why anybody would think that way, because we don't want any jobs to be lost. Clearly, if we defaulted on our debt, which we will never do, it's going to impact jobs in this country. So we've got to do everything we can to act responsibly, get this debt ceiling deal done, get our country back to work so we can take care of American families. But unfortunately, we've got Democrats that, they're into their radical leftist agenda, and they don't care who gets hurt in the process.
So final question on this topic, then I want to move on to another topic. Bottom line, you think we get there?
Yes, I think we get there. And right. I think, I really admire Kevin McCarthy. One thing that I've been focused on since I got up here is getting people back to work. I have a bill. It's a let's get to work. And it basically says this: if you're an able-bodied American, you don't have young children, you're going to have to either go to work or you're not going to be on Medicaid, you're not going to be on food stamps, you're not going to be on welfare.
That's a radical idea. I mean, actually having to
logical. You would never teach your kids to not work, would you?
No, but unfortunately, we've created an environment over the last, really, I mean, you can go back to the Great Society, where we've been creating this government dependency, and we think, we just keep continuing it, thinking the outcome is going to be different, but the results are the same.
Yeah, we got to get people back to work. It's the best thing for them. I grew up in a poor family. I had a single mom. I was born to a single mom. She said, I don't care that we live in public housing. We're not going to any government programs. You're going to go out and you're going to get a job and you're going to be successful.
But it's not, Rick, it's not just about a paycheck. It's about making a contribution to something that's bigger than yourself. It's about self-fulfillment. It's about purpose, about meaning in life. It's not just about a paycheck to be able to buy things. And all that's important and has its place. But what we are doing is we're denying a lot of young people by teaching them that the government will take care of them. We're denying them fulfillment and the possibility of experiencing the American dream.
I agree, Tony. People, my experience in life has been that people want to work. They want to be independent, and they get so much joy from, whatever type of job they have, the people they work with, the service they provide, the product they build, just the self-esteem of working.
Senator, I want to move on to another topic. Yesterday, the president vetoed a congressional resolution to reinstate tariffs on solar panels imported from Southeast Asia, which is a gift here to the Chinese Communist Party, to the government. What kind of message is this sending to China?
What I don't get is what does China have over Joe Biden? There's something. Because this is think about this. What we were talking about is we passed legislation that said that solar panels could not be made in China because they're made with slave labor. And then Biden gives them a 2-year exemption from what they're doing is they're shipping those solar panels to, a place like Vietnam or Thailand, and then they're shipping them here and they're trying to, do a workaround. And so we said, the House and the Senate, we had 56 votes to 41 in the Senate. We said, that's wrong, Mr. President. You shouldn't be doing that. And he doubled down. So it just seems to me that China has to have something on Joe Biden, because who wants anything that's brought into this country made with slave labor? Nobody but Joe Biden.
But at the same time, is the administration not creating a a demand, basically an artificial demand, by forcing people to go to these renewable sources of energy, which I'm all for if they make sense, but it's almost like creating a market for China.
Oh, absolutely. It seems like what the Biden administration is doing is whether the CHIPS bill, well, that was for China. It said it's supposed to be anti-China. No, China got helped with that. Nobody had to stop doing business in China. So with this, I mean, everything seems like, you know, the Biden administration doesn't care that China wants to demolish our way of life. You know, there's no freedom of religion in China. There's no individual freedom. And the Biden administration continues to do things that helps China and hurts American citizens.
It's inexplicable, as you said. Final question for you, Senator. You recently introduced legislation to protect children from something that now is really on the minds of a lot of Americans. It's artificial intelligence on social media sites.
Well, I think it's pretty basic. I've got grandchildren, and I got married pretty young. And I really worry about social media and apps and things like that, how it impacts them. So this is real simple. If you're underage, then your parents ought to have to sign off on any apps or social media sites you can get on. Number two is these social media sites and apps cannot require you to have to pay to get a AI technology off your app, off your phone. And so, because what they're doing is they put it on and then you have to pay to get it off. Well, that's not right. But first, parents ought to be able to look at and have to consent on AI on their kid's phone or tablet or whatever. And two, they ought to make sure that, you know, these apps can't require you to pay to have to get, you know, AI technology off of it. It's pretty basic stuff.
Yeah, very, very common sense. We're up against a break, but people need to realize this goes way beyond, AI goes way beyond like Siri, just being able to talk to your phone. I mean, this is dangerous stuff when you talk about your kids and how they can be manipulated.
Absolutely. Elections, your kids use all sorts of stuff. We've got to be very careful with the AI technology.
Senator Rick Scott, always great to see you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Thanks, Tony. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Senator Rick Scott of Florida.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.